Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, it was a nail-biting few days in the run-up to Joe Biden being announced as president-elect. Polls and market predictions had pointed to a Biden win. But now that it's here, what does this mean for businesses in the region and markets? We're joined on the line today by Kelvin Goh, and he's the head of wealth advisory at OCBC. Kelvin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kelvin, first tell us, markets seem to be responding quite positively to the news that we received over the weekend.
Yes, actually. So what we've seen is, at least for the Asian markets, they've all done quite well on the aftermath of the elections. And I think generally, people are just a bit more convinced now that we have results coming in. Markets have actually stabilized somewhat.
So tell me more, what does this win mean for American businesses and which sectors are you looking at and why?
Well, a Biden win would actually mean a bit more focus with regards to the COVID situation. So I guess at the end of the day, it's very much a medical issue. He has actually set up a provisional task force when it comes to dealing with the COVID situation. And I think that's a very, very good start. In terms of the sectors that we are looking at, I do believe that his focus on clean energy and coupled with his desire to upgrade the infrastructure for America, I think those would probably be the two main sectors that one can look at when it comes to having a boost in the aftermath of a Biden victory.
But, I mean, while we did see Joe Biden coming in as president-elect, the results really did come down to the wire, didn't they, Kelvin, highlighting a very divided America?
Definitely, yeah.
But that said, you know, Kamala Harris, the first female to be voted in as VP, does this spell a time of change for the U.S.? And what does this mean from an investment perspective?
Okay, so I think the key focus right now is how essentially this pandemic it can be sorted out. If you look at the daily news reports, I think we've seen just about north of 100,000 cases on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And you coupled it with some of the social divisions, this is not exactly good, at least for the U.S. economy. So I think as a start, they have to make sure that the virus or the pandemic situation is indeed controlled. They also have to at least heal some of the social divisions, and only then can they get down to the business of getting the economy, the domestic economy moving, getting the whole nation going as a whole. So from an investment perspective, I think the main thing that I would be looking at is in terms of number of cases going down. I think this will at least give some boost to the sense that the virus situation is getting under control, at least for the U.S.
And the road for the administration is going to be tough, isn't it? I think, as Obama said over the weekend, when Joe Biden walks into the White House in January, he'll face a series of extraordinary challenges. No incoming president has a raging pandemic, an unequal economy and justice system, a democracy at risk and a climate in peril. So what are you going to be looking out for in the coming months?
Oh, yes. I think you've just listed down just some of the problems that he's expected to face. I think the key one that's on everyone's mind right now will be the composition of the Senate. It seems to be nail-bitingly close, but we'll probably get a bit of resolution only sometime in January. Any form of divided Congress, that may ironically be fairly decent for the markets, simply because it does provide some form of opposition, at least to some of Biden's previous initiatives to do some form of regulation in terms of certain sectors. So the Senate race will be something that I'll be looking at quite closely to probably see some resolution in January next year.
And let's not forget that we still have a few weeks until Inauguration Day. And, you know, still lingering, there's still that lingering danger that President Trump hasn't conceded at this moment. Are you worried about volatility in the markets as a result?
Yes, that will be something that, at the back of our minds as well. But the good thing is, of course, the major elephant in the room seems to have cleared up. We do have Biden winning the Electoral College votes by a substantial margin. So while we are mindful of some of the threats that President Donald Trump has stated, I do think that it should be able to resolve itself over time. So in the interim, while we do expect some form of volatility, I do expect much of it to be
We're speaking with Kelvin Goh, head of wealth advisory at OCBC. So, Kelvin, tell us then, we've spoken about businesses in the US, we've spoken about the US economy. What does this mean for businesses here in Asia and closer to home here in Singapore?
Well, it's probably still a bit early to tell, but in my mind, President Biden would actually provide a bit more stability, at least as compared to President Trump. So any form of stability, any form of actions that are not being dictated out of a Twitter account, I think that would generally be beneficial for the global economy. So I'm looking for some form of stabilization, at least when it comes to US-China relationships. And if that part is stabilized, I do think that the Asia economy as a whole and Southeast Asia will benefit substantially as well.
And just on the back of that, you know, in a recent report, you wrote that while headlines may trigger near-term volatility, it's also important not to lose focus of the fundamentals. So how are you advising your clients during this current period?
Our focus has essentially been very much the same. This year, if you look at the U.S. stock markets as an example, you wouldn't even know that now we have a pandemic situation going on. So while we are mindful of some of the short-term noise, some of the short-term volatility, I think it's key to focus on quality assets and to keep one's portfolio diversified. At the end of the day, we are expected to continue to be in a low interest rate environment, and this is generally seen to be attractive for risk assets. So I think the main message would be to continue to invest in quality assets, to invest in the market, and to gain exposure to the markets in a gradual manner. I think those are time-tested rules, and one should continue to live by them regardless of the situation.
And just one last question while we're talking about international headlines. Obviously, we've got some moves coming out with regard to a Brexit deadline in Europe this weekend. What are you watching? What are you keeping an eye out for in Europe?
Well, for the Brexit, there's so many things to support. But again, if I cast my mind back to where we are right now, Brexit, the situation in Europe right now, specifically on the medical front, I'm looking at the escalation in terms of the number of cases. So that is at the back of my mind. Essentially, at the end of the day, the COVID situation is a medical crisis. Mm-hmm. It has to be handled medically. So I'm hoping that the number of cases, it probably stops spiking and that it comes off. Only then can we actually see some form of resolution, at least on the economic front.
Well, Kelvin, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Kelvin Goh, head of wealth advisory at OCBC, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.